This is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Ana Mateo tells us about the latest cleanup efforts at Japan's damaged Fukushima nuclear center. Dan Friedel presents this week's Health and Lifestyle Report. We close with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, here is Ana Mateo.
The operator of Japan's damaged Fukushima nuclear center has begun testing a process to release treated wastewater into the sea. Tests began Monday as workers examined processing equipment at the newly completed seaside pumping center, said Tokyo Electric Power Company Holdings, also called TEPCO. The water release is necessary to move forward with cleanup efforts at the Fukushima center. Three reactors there suffered meltdowns after a 2011 earthquake, and huge ocean waves destroyed the plant's cooling systems. The disaster forced 160,000 people to flee nearby areas poisoned by radioactive material. The water has already gone through a process designed to remove harmful materials. This is why the government describes it as treated and not radioactive. But experts say it is impossible to remove all the radioactivity. TEPCO and government officials say tritium, a radioactive form of hydrogen, is the only substance that cannot be removed from the water. They say tritium is not considered harmful in small amounts. Equipment will first mix the treated water with large amounts of seawater. The mixture will then enter an undersea passage, called a tunnel, to be released into the Pacific Ocean, about 1 kilometer from the coast. The testing by TEPCO is expected to last about 2 weeks. After that, the pumping operation will need to be examined by the country's Nuclear Regulation Authority. Those required tests are likely to begin in early July. Japan's government announced plans in April 2021 to slowly release the treated water, which it says meets safe levels. But the plan to release water into the sea has faced strong protests from local fishing communities. They are worried about safety and fear the plan will hurt seafood businesses. Nearby nations, including South Korea, China, and Pacific Island nations, have also raised safety concerns. Japan's government has set up a financial assistance program to help affected fishing communities. Fishing officials again voiced their opposition to the plan during a weekend visit to the area by Industry Minister Yasutoshi Nishimura. Tetsu Nozaki is head of a local fishing organization. He told Nishimura that local fishermen still stand by their opposition. He added, however, that his group supports progress in the plant's decommissioning and hopes to continue negotiations with the government. Currently, though, he admitted the two sides remain wide apart. In South Korea, fishermen protested the plan Monday in front of the country's National Assembly in Seoul. Japanese officials say the treated water will be released into the ocean over many years, making it harmless to people and sea life. Japan has sought support from the International Atomic Energy Agency during the process. This aimed to gain credibility with the public and ensure that safety measures meet international requirements. I'm Anna Mateo.
In her latest gardening story, Jessica Damiano tells of going to a gardening store in search of only one plant. The store did not have the plant that the Associated Press writer wanted, but it had many containers of pretty flowers. Instead of leaving with nothing, Damiano came home with many flowers. She called the flowers eye candy. Damiano also called the purchase an impulse buy. Eye candy is something you might see in a store window. It could be a pretty but costly piece of clothing that makes you decide to go inside to just look around. The next thing you know, you have tried on the clothing and decided to wear it home. That is an example of an impulse buy. In Damiano's case, she decided to purchase flowers at the garden store and bring them home. She said she could not resist all the eye candy. Sometimes, when she visits the garden store, she will see a pre-planted container filled with pretty flowers. These can be very costly, but she knows the flowers have been planted by an expert, and they should keep growing well when she gets them home. But this time, Damiano wrote, she decided to take the flowers home in small containers and plant them on her own. She called the project of buying flowers and planting them in a container such as a pot at home easy, fun, and money-saving. The process can be rewarding and fill you with pride as you look at your work all season. Damiano said, some people think you can buy flowers and plant them any way you want. But she said there are important rules you need to follow to make sure the flowers continue to grow. First, she said, make sure you know how large the flowers will get when they are fully grown. That way, you can place them in your pot or container correctly. It is also a good idea to make sure all the flowers in the same container have the same water and sunlight needs. Once you have a container and your flowers in mind, be sure to make some holes in the container so water can flow out. Be sure to choose the correct soil for young plants and flowers. It is not a good idea to take soil directly from your garden. That soil is not likely to be good for the roots of the young plants. Softer soil that is sold in bags at garden stores is the right kind of soil to use. The young roots are able to grow and spread more easily. If you do not have pre-made soil, you can make your own by combining natural materials like peat moss, coconut fiber or rice hulls with compost and a mineral called vermiculite. The vermiculite holds on to water and nutrients. Once you combine all three, you should have healthy soil for young plants. The next thing you need is some fertilizer that will help the young plants and flowers grow. Fertilizer is a growing aid. If you know the following English words, thrillers, fillers, and spillers, Damiano said, you can remember which kinds of flowers to plant. Thrillers, she explained, are tall plants that catch people's attention. They should be planted first and in the center of the container. Fillers are shorter plants that should go around the taller plant. Spillers are plants similar to vines that will grow out of the container and spill over the edges. They should grow just inside the edge of the container. Be sure to pay a lot of attention to plants that you put in containers. They grow differently from plants in the ground. The roots of garden plants can spread out to reach deep nutrients and water in the soil. Plants in containers cannot do that. Be sure to check them 2 times a day and water them often, especially when it is hot and dry. Do not forget to add fertilizer either. Also, plants in containers need nutrients more often. I'm Dan Friedel.
That was Dan Friedel with this week's Health and Lifestyle Report. Dan is here now to talk more about the story. Hi, Dan. Good to talk with you.
Hi, Ashley.
For a story about flowers and containers, it had a lot of new words and phrases for our listeners.
You are right. Like eye candy, which is how Jessica Damiano described the flowers she was thinking about buying. I'm wondering, have you ever seen eye candy while shopping and made an impulse buy?
You know, I have. When I was living in Western China, I saw this blanket in a shop that was made in Afghanistan. It was so colorful and beautiful and unique. It was also very big and heavy and a little costly. It was not practical for me to buy it, but I did anyway. I couldn't resist. How about you, Dan?
Well, Ashley, I always like to be very careful spending money. I read a lot of stories about something I am thinking of buying and try to take my time deciding. However, last year I had my eye on some footwear. A nice pair of leather boots, and they were only available in New York City.
But you do not live in New York City.
You're right, Ashley. I don't. I live in Ohio. I thought the boots would fit, but I didn't know for sure. However, all the photos I saw made them look great, so I took a risk and purchased them.
And what happened when you tried them on?
Well, they were a little tight, but I think they are the right size. I do not wear them all the time, but they are starting to get more comfortable. I'm happy I got them, even if they were an impulse purchase.
Well, I'm glad the purchase worked out, and I'm glad you were able to come on the show today to talk a bit more about your story and your buying habits.
You're welcome, Ashley. Always happy to help.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. The months before Election Day in November of 1980 were difficult for President Jimmy Carter. Many Americans blamed the Democrat for the nation's economic problems, including high inflation and high unemployment. Many also blamed him for not gaining the release of 52 American hostages in Iran. About a year earlier, Muslim extremists had seized the United States Embassy in Tehran and taken the Americans as prisoners. President Carter urged all Americans to support his administration during the crisis. As the months went by, however, he made no progress in bringing the hostages home. The Iranians rejected negotiations for their release, and an attempt to rescue them failed. The president appeared powerless. Carter's political weakness led another Democrat, Ted Kennedy, to compete against him for the party's nomination. The Republican Party, however, was united behind a strong candidate, Ronald Reagan, a former actor and former governor of California. Reagan's running mate for vice president was George H.W. Bush. Bush had served in Congress and as head of the Central Intelligence Agency. He had also represented the United States as ambassador to China and to the United Nations. The inability of the Carter administration to solve the hostage crisis and other problems made many Americans feel that their country was weak. Reagan promised to give them confidence once more in the nation's strength. Carter and Reagan debated each other several weeks before the election. To some people, Carter seemed angry and defensive, while Reagan seemed calm and thoughtful.
Next Tuesday is Election Day. Next Tuesday, all of you will go to the polls and make a decision. I think when you make that decision, it might be well if you would ask yourself, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Is it easier for you to go and buy things in the stores than it was 4 years ago? Is there more or less unemployment in the country than there was 4 years ago? Is America as respected throughout the world as it was? And if you answer all of those questions yes, why then I think your choice is very obvious as to who you will vote for. If you don't agree, if you don't think that this course that we've been on for the last 4 years is what you would like to see us follow for the next four, then I could suggest another choice that you have.
On Election Day, voters gave Reagan a huge victory. It became known as the Reagan Revolution. Inauguration Day was January 20th, 1981. Ronald Reagan became the nation's 40th president and, at 69, the oldest ever elected. In his inaugural speech, the new president talked about the goals of his administration. A major goal was to reduce the size of the federal government. Reagan and other conservatives believed that the nation's economy was suffering because of high taxes and unnecessary laws. Government, he said, was not the solution to the problem. Government was the problem. He urged Americans to join him in what he called a new beginning.
The economic ills we suffer have come upon us over several decades. They will not go away in days, weeks, or months, but they will go away. They will go away because we, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Ronald Reagan was born in 1911 in the small community of Tampico, Illinois. He was a good student and a good athlete. While in college, he became interested in acting. But he did not have enough money to go to New York or Hollywood to study to become an actor. Instead, he tried out for a job as a sports announcer on radio. A radio station in Davenport, Iowa, liked his creativity and gave him the job. Later, Dutch Reagan, as he was called, worked at a radio station in Des Moines, Iowa, and then he moved to the big city, Chicago, where he worked as an announcer for the Chicago Cubs baseball team. In March of 1937, the Cubs were in California for spring training. Reagan went along, and while he was there, he took a screen test with Warner Brothers. The movie studio liked the friendly, handsome young man and offered him a job. Before long, Ronald Reagan was a Hollywood star. In the 1940 film Canute Rockne, All-American, Reagan played Notre Dame University college football player George Gipp. His deathbed speech contained a line that would often be associated with the Reagan presidency.
Ask them to go in there with all they've got. Win just one for the Gipper. I don't know where I'll be then, but I'll know about it. I'll be happy.
In King's Row, Reagan played a double amputee who had lost both legs.
Randy! Randy! Where's the rest of me? Randy!
Yes, Drake?
It was that accident.
Yes, dear. But don't talk about it yet.
He remembered King's Row as the film that made him a star. During World War II, Reagan joined what was then the Army Air Corps and made training films. Reagan became deeply interested in politics during his years in Hollywood. He started out a liberal, but his political views became increasingly conservative. He served six times as president of the Screen Actors Guild, a union of movie actors. After the war, Reagan guided the Screen Actors Guild through a frightening time for actors and others in the entertainment industry. It was the time of the powerful House Un-American Activities Committee. Its hearings resulted in the feared blacklist. The blacklist was responsible for hurting, even ending, the careers of many in the film and television industries if they were thought to be communists or to have communist sympathies. It was through the blacklist scare that Reagan met his second wife, Nancy Davis. Her name had mistakenly been confused with that of another actress, causing it to appear on a blacklist, and she sought Reagan's help in correcting the mistake. They fell in love, and would marry in 1952.
Must be a big push this time, Ace.
The Admiral told me not to tell.
Reagan and Nancy Davis appeared together in the World War II drama Hellcats of the Navy, in which he played a naval officer and she a Navy nurse who loved him.
The Admiral should have told me not to worry.
I thought we'd settled all that about you and me.
It won't stay settled, Case. Not until you tell me you stopped caring.
By the early 1950s, Reagan stopped appearing in movies and turned instead to a new medium, television.
And every Sunday night, General Electric brings you the finest motion picture stars on TV.
For many years, Ronald Reagan was the commercial spokesman for General Electric and host of a series of dramatic shows. For much of his life, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat. But by 1960, he was making speeches for conservative Republican candidates. In 1966, he became a candidate himself. He ran as a Republican for governor of California. Democrats did not take him seriously. They made fun of some of his movie roles, as in Bedtime for Bonzo, a comedy where his co-star was a chimp. But Reagan had the last laugh. He won the election by almost a million votes. As governor, Reagan was praised for reducing the state's debt, but criticized for raising taxes. Some people also thought he reacted too strongly against student unrest on college campuses. But he won re-election in 1970. In 1976, Reagan ran for the Republican presidential nomination. He came close to winning that nomination away from President Gerald Ford. After accepting the nomination, Ford asked Reagan to share the stage with him. The strong welcome that Reagan received was a clear sign of his future in the party. That future would come just 4 years later when Reagan won the presidency. On Reagan's inauguration day, Iran finally released the hostages it had been holding for 444 days. Walter Cronkite paused in his CBS television coverage of the inauguration for this breaking news report from Dan Rather.
Walter, according to our CBS News sources at Tehran Airport, one of the two Algerian jetliners is taxiing, or was just a few moments ago. Now, as best we can make it out, here is where the situation with the American hostages stands at this moment. They remain in Tehran, or at least they were up until just a few moments ago, at the airport, apparently moments away from their flight to freedom, a few moments after spending 444 days in captivity. And can you imagine what it must have been like inside that airliner for the hostages this morning?
As president, Ronald Reagan quickly began work to get Congress to reduce taxes. He also began a weekly series of radio broadcasts. Each Saturday, he would comment on developments in American life and politics. Reagan's ability to relate to people earned him the nickname the Great Communicator. 2 months after he took office, Ronald Reagan was shot while leaving an event at a hotel in Washington. In the first moments, no one realized that he had been hit, but there was a bullet in his left lung, close to his heart. At the hospital, Reagan jokingly told the doctors, "I hope you're all Republicans." They were able to remove the bullet, and he made a full recovery. The gunman, 25-year-old John Hinckley Jr., was sent to a mental hospital. His explanation for the attack was that he was trying to impress the actress Jodie Foster.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.